Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Front Office Report with Sox Chief Baseball Officer Chaim Bloom on the Greg Hill Show. This is WEEI.
Front Office Report every Thursday at 9 here on the Greg Hill Show. Greg off today and back tomorrow after his Italian journey. I'm Ken Laird in for Greg today. Wiggy is here. Courtney is here. Shime is here. Front Office Report brought to you by Stoli Vodka, a Latvian product with operations in Ukraine. By Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros at needco.com. By Zingaroo. Zingaroo allows you to trade, chat, and compete with friends all in one app. Join now and get started with $25 on us. And by Time Out Market, right down the road from Fenway, Boston's best eating and drinking destination. In the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarket.com. Chaim Bloom on the Harbor One Hotline here this morning. Morning, Chaim. How are you?
Morning. I'm hanging in there. How are you guys?
Pretty good. We're digesting the big action last night. Brian Bayo and Chris Sale both added at the same time. What was your reaction to Bayo? Let's start there. What did you expect coming in, and what did you see?
Yeah, you know, I think really what we saw was as advertised, which is a really exciting young pitcher with an electric arm. The moment wasn't too big for him. Obviously, it didn't go results-wise exactly the way he would have hoped, but those things can happen in a big league debut and, for that matter, in any one start. I think you saw all the potential that he has and the reasons that we're excited about him.
Chaim, when you look at where he is now, the most important thing it seems like for athletes is, all right, build that confidence. Is he going to get another start back at the major league level, or is it you thinking about maybe him going back down? What's the next step for Bayo?
Well, we still have to map that out, and that's part of what we're going to be discussing today and over the next few days. You know, as you know, we're going through a lot of different situations in our rotation right now with some of these guys on the shelf and just trying to map out the best path to the All-Star break and hopefully come out of the break healthier than we are now, we hope. So, you know, we still have to map all that out. But you know, the one thing about Brian, he's not, you know, he doesn't lack confidence. And, you know, I think he knows he can do this. I think he learned some things just facing the caliber hitters you face at this level. And he'll learn from those things and keep getting better.
Is he on a pitch limit of any kind, Chaim?
Nothing out of the ordinary for what you see for a starting pitcher. I mean, we've had him up to 100 pitches in AAA this season. You know, that when they took him out last night, that was really more of just, you know, where the game was, where he was, some of the effort that had gone into, you know, the innings. Obviously, he had some long innings sprinkled in there. So, you know, there's no restrictions on him that are any different from what you'd see from any young starting pitcher.
And not over the course of the season either. Would that influence your decision whether to put him in the bullpen perhaps or keep as a starter?
No, I mean, look, this guy's as exciting a starting pitching prospect as we've had in a long time. I don't think you want to take one of those guys and turn him into a reliever unless you absolutely have to. Obviously, down the stretch, the end of the season, when it's all hands on deck, you do what you need to do. But, you know, just over the long haul of summer, no. I mean, we monitor everybody's workload carefully, but that isn't – usually that doesn't express itself in innings limits. There are better ways to monitor that in terms of – you know, the proper buildup and keeping a good rhythm to the workload. So we haven't put any limits on him.
Hi, when you look at Chris Sale, obviously he wasn't thrilled with his performance yesterday. But when you look at him coming back into the mix, did this change your opinion on him at all? I know that people asked Alex Cora if you could see him in the bullpen or what have you. Did this change that the fact that you guys said, no, he's a starter and will always be a starter with you guys?
No, he's going to start. You know, nothing changed there. Obviously, we still need to talk through and, you know, get feedback from the staff, you know, from Chris and talk through it and see exactly how to map this out, you know, from here. But, you know, I thought, you know, just watching it on TV from Fenway, it looked like his stuff was in a good place. Obviously, he was a little erratic with the execution. But, you know, I think particularly the changeup's in a much better place than when he was on his way back last year. As you guys saw last year, that pitch was getting walloped and he didn't really seem to have much feel for it. He's already, you know, even on this rehab stint, looks to me like he's got better feel for that pitch than he did at any point last year. And obviously, if you're going to navigate lineups with a lot of right-handed hitters, which any starter is going to have to navigate lineups that have a lot of opposite-handed hitters that are built to play against you, you need to have something to equalize that. And, you know, his other pitches are so good, he might not even need that, but it's always been a huge part of his arsenal when he's been at the top of his game. And it's nice to see it in a pretty good place as he's working his way back.
Unfortunately for him, a lot of people talking about the video that came out from the dugout last night. A lot of callers this morning, some people love the fact that he's all fired up. Do you like that? Do you like seeing a player, you know, have a reaction like that?
Well, I did see the video. I have not talked to anybody, including Chris, about that. But I did see the video. And, look, I'm not going to sit here and condone property damage. But, look, he is a competitor. That's who he is. And there's plenty of guys, including, you know, somebody that we all love who's going into Cooperstown later this month who have been caught on tape doing stuff like that when they're frustrated during a ball game. It happens. It probably happens more than people think and with guys that you might never suspect. So, you know, it's never something that we condone, but there's a lot of passion in this game. And when you have someone who holds himself to as high a standard as Chris does and who cares as much as he does, sometimes that passion is going to express itself in different ways.
Yeah, I had no issues with that. I like to see guys have that fiery passion about the game. But back to Bayo, what's the biggest adjustment for, you know, somebody like him who does – you know, come up to the major leagues? What is the biggest adjustment that pitchers have to deal with versus, you know, pitching at the minor league level?
Yeah, really, you know, I think there's a couple things. I mean, when you talk about a debut, obviously the adrenaline is going to be pumping a little more than usual, and that might impact on some level how well you execute. You know, I've seen him have games in the minor leagues where he's executed better than he did last night, but it wasn't like he was scattering the ball. I think he was mostly around the strike zone. There's a couple pitches he'd like to have back, but on the whole, I think he did a pretty good job. And, you know, you could see, I mean, things would happen on the field. It wasn't like his composure, you know, failed him or he was rattled. He takes things in stride pretty well. That's always been the case with him, and that was no different last night. You know, I think some of it, obviously, we know he's not a finished product. Look, this guy's started 9 games in AAA, I believe. You know, and we know there's still some development left. Some of it is adjusting to both the called strikes you'll get in AAA that you might not get in the big leagues, and some of the pitches that hitters will swing at that they might not swing at in the big leagues. Big league hitters are much better game planning against you. I thought the Rays did a really good job of slowing Brian down. He likes to work at a quick pace, and they stopped him from doing that at points by taking their time getting in the box, calling time, trying to disrupt his rhythm. And then there are just some pitches that are just going to be more effective against AAA hitters. Certain pitches in certain locations, you learn how to really use your stuff and sequence at the major league level. And that's the process. I mean, we've actually seen it from some of these other guys who have filled in, and it's been one of the coolest parts of this season so far for me. There's nothing quite like watching starting pitchers develop. I think it's one of the more satisfying organizational experiences we have. And we've seen it this year. I mean, Carter Crawford, remember back to his debut last summer against Cleveland when he got hit around and some of the struggles he had out of the bullpen and seemed to be searching for an identity and who he was. And now the last 2 times he's been called upon, he's thrown the ball really well. He's filled up the strike zone. He's been confident. Winkowski, that debut against Baltimore, he was not himself at all, and he learned from it. And obviously he's going to have a tough test tonight, but over the past few starts, you've seen him really pitch to his strengths and understand who he is. And so that's a process. We like for as much of that process to happen at the minor league level as we possibly can. That's our jobs in development, is to bring those guys along. But they're still going to be learning when they get up here, just seeing how big league hitters react to what they're trying to do.
Hein Bloom, our guest, the front office reporter here on the Greg Hill Show on WEEI on the Harbor One Hotline, the Red Sox chief baseball officer. Any updates, Haim, on return dates for Michael Wacha, Rich Hill, or Nathan Eovaldi?
Nothing specific yet. You know, the good news with all those guys is, you know, there's nothing, you know, that we think is overly concerning with any of them. Obviously, Rich, we know, has, you know, that issue with the knee, but he's feeling good after getting a brace on it and working his way back. And we're still mapping out exactly what it's going to look like for the other guys. Just want to make sure that, you know, we're doing the right thing by them so that once they're back, they can be back for good. Obviously, we know it doesn't always work that way with pitching, but we want to do everything we can to make sure that's the case.
Hi, I asked this to Sam last week, and I'm interested in your response. The identity of this team, kind of up and down. I think a lot of fans don't know what the identity is. When you look at the overall record, it's looking good. It's on the up. But then you look at the division and things aren't as bright. For you, what do you think it is? And do you think the coming stretch of the next 16 games is going to give you a clearer picture?
Well, it'll certainly give us a better picture where we stand. I mean, there's no question. Obviously, we have not done our best work in the division. You know, some of that's to be expected. It's, I think, by far the toughest division in the game right now. But that's who we have to beat, and we do need to beat these teams. Fortunately for us, all the games count the same. So while it's frustrating that we haven't won a series in the division yet, you know, those games don't count any more than the games that are out of division. There are a lot of them, though, so we obviously want to pick it up in the division. You know, I don't know that, you know, spend too much time thinking about identity necessarily. Just try to play good baseball and win ball games and keep working to improve. I do think, you know, one thing that has stood out to me since spring training, and it's been the case even at some of the low points this season, this is a group that works hard. You start with what we saw early in the season defensively and especially on the infield and how much improved that was across the board from last season. And some of that is obviously due to some of the new additions and particularly Trevor, but some of it's just due to putting in the work. And then offensively, we started out, we couldn't have been worse offensively for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And these guys got after it and worked and, you know, got themselves back to a better spot. And you have to watch it over the course of the 6 month season. Sometimes that work can catch up to you and we need to make sure we're getting our rest too. But this is a group that puts in the work.
Haim, you swung a couple trades last year to help the bullpen. How does the trade market compare this year to what you had to deal with a year ago?
You know, it's still early to know how it's all going to come to fruition. There are a lot of conversations going on. We're having them. Other teams are having them. You know, this is just the second year of having the draft at the All-Star break, which kind of changed the flow of things last year. It ended up pushing almost all the action to the very end. Is that going to happen again this year? Obviously, we don't know yet. It might. Obviously, deadline gets people going, but certainly the conversations have started. You know, we've touched base with all 29 clubs at this point. You know, I would expect with maybe a little bit of a lull during the draft as everybody's focused in on that process, I would expect that to just continue until August 2nd.
Haim, how difficult is it for you, like, as an organization when you kind of look back and go, oh, man, we had a chance to potentially re-sign Kyle Schwarber, but we didn't. And then he's having the season like he's having. Do you guys ever look back and go, ah, maybe we missed out on that one, or is it just like par for the course?
No, we always look at those things. To be honest with you, with y'all, I think the things that keep me up at night are not those things as much as, you know, when we missed out on, you know, somebody who was maybe more under the radar that we should have been all over. You know, those are the guys, I think, that can really move you forward. Obviously, Kyle's, what he's doing and what he's done this month has been amazing. Look, it's no secret that he can hit. You know, some of it, obviously, the length of the commitment, the term, the fit on the club. You know, at the same time, we look at who we do have and what it's done for us defensively and feel really good about that. And some of, you know, the guys that have emerged on the edges of our roster who really have kind of kept us afloat over the last month. The first couple months was all about the middle of our lineup producing and looking for help from elsewhere. And now it's kind of flipped a little bit over the last couple weeks where we've gotten good contributions from some of these guys. And that's kept us going while some of the guys in the middle of the lineup are hitting a little bit of a lull. So it all goes in cycles, but you know, the opportunity that those guys have seized has been every bit as helpful. So we do look at those things, but you know, ultimately, I think a lot of what we pride ourselves on is being all over those guys that that maybe aren't as heralded. You know, great example last year, there was a lot of hubbub about the Yankees trade deadline. As I certainly remember, and as y'all may remember, I didn't hear too many people talking about Clay Holmes. He ended up being the most impactful guy, I think, that they added. I think that's pretty clear right now. And, you know, those are the guys that we spend time thinking about, because that's what really can take you to the next level.
Well, real quick, final question on that, Heim. The bullpen, the unpredictability of who's going to be good year to year, is that almost the toughest part of the job, trying to project what one guy? I mean, Robles was really good for you last year. This year, you obviously just DFA'd. It didn't work out.
Yeah, that's part of the business, and our job is to figure that out. So, you know, we spend a lot of time on that. You know, it's something we pride ourselves on. Obviously, we've been able to get those types of contributions from some guys, and then other guys, when it doesn't work out, it's not easy, especially in Hansel's case, because he really cares about this group. So emotionally, it's not easy either. But, you know, that's part of the gig. That's part of everybody's challenge, and we want to be really good at that. And a lot of times it just gets to, you know, looking past, you know, the Q rating, so to speak, looking past, you know, how many people have heard of this guy, and really kind of going under the hood and saying, who is this guy right now? What can he do? How can we help him? What can we bring out of him? And trying to go from there.
Well, good luck getting under the hood the next 3 weeks here as the deadline approaches, and good luck against the Yankees. Thanks as always.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.